From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 8th day of March 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and will help us discover what might come out in tomorrow's USDA report that will include the prospective plantings and grain stocks figures that changed the whole world for corn on the very last trading day of March. We'll also talk about that a bit with the folks at the Andersons when we get to the cash grain segment. Along the way, we'll discuss what's been happening in the agricultural news and hear from U.S. 18th District Congressman Darren LaHood out of Peoria, Illinois, about immigration, the southern border, and trade policy. And then as we close out our time together, Mark Russo from Risk Pulse in Chicago will tell us about another bomb cyclone that's going to be targeting that same area that was hit 4 weeks ago that caused the massive flooding along the Missouri River.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at what's happened in Chicago for the day. Good afternoon to you on this day before USDA report day in April. Sometimes those are interesting, but when they are, it's only because either the prospective plantings or the grain stocks report at the end of March has been interesting, and that's been the case for both of those reports. What does the trade expect tomorrow, Kurt?
Well, they're geared up. We're expecting a little higher corn estimate. The average trade guess is about 1.99 billion bushels. That's up about 150, 160 million bushels from last month, just due to the higher stocks estimate. Beans just slightly lower, about 898 versus 900 million bushels last month. So they'll factor in those stocks, and we'll see what categories they shuffle around. But the southern hemisphere, the Brazilian bean crops expected to be 116 million metric tons. Significance of that is the trade was trying to get that down to about 110 million metric tons at one time. It is below last year's, but not as bad as what the trade was trying to factor in here during the winter months. So that'd be out of 11 a.m. tomorrow, and we'll kind of digest those numbers. You know, as long as the corn estimate isn't much above 2.1 or the bean estimate's above 930 million bushel, you got to say that that's fairly well built in at this time.
And so we won't have much of a change, and then we'll look to what? The trade negotiations with China, the bomb cyclone that's making its way into the Midwest again, all of the above, Brazil corn.
Yeah, there's a lot of minor things to watch. The main thing is if you're on north and northwest of here, the concern is that weather forecast as we move into Thursday, Friday. There are some areas up to 30 inches of snow are in their forecast and some 2 to 3 inch rains. And that's kind of the last thing that we need up in that northwest area. Also, too, as you look on forward in the weather maps here through the Midwest, we're looking at some moisture here Wednesday, Thursday, and again next week. But the main concern as we move into late April, the longer-term maps continue to show cool, wet conditions. So we'll see how this weather forecast unfolds. This afternoon's planting progress report is expected to show corn as a nation 2% in the ground, spring wheat about 3%, and winter wheat conditions about 56%. Good to excellent. So as we move towards the end of April here, the weather guys particularly are going to get to play, and that's going to be the main feature here on, you know, how fast and what type of conditions we get the crop in the ground.
Are farmers more concerned about the corn they have in the bin at the moment or about putting corn in the ground?
Well, that's a that's a great question. It's kind of a toss-up in here. First is the weather getting in the ground, and the second part is I still have old crop grain to sell. And that's what's kind of keeping a lid on the marketplace in general, even though we got a little bit of a positive fundamental event taking place here. There's still ample supplies of old crop to move. And it's going to take, a little higher market to shake that loose. But whenever we do see some higher prices, they're wanting to go ahead and try to get some grain pushed out the door here.
Anything for the livestock producer before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, for the consumer part, is got to get on these pork loins. These pork loins are relatively cheap, and as you look forward in through here, if this pork concern worldwide starts to heat up, we're going to see some higher pork prices as we move down the road. We're due to maybe have a little pullback in the pork complex from the standpoint the pack are starting to move in the red. Even though there's a lot of optimism in here, we're kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse, per se.
I suppose that is important for consumers across the board to be reminded about that, because the Chinese are likely to be purchasing pork from all across the planet to service their needs. It will impact what's available, and supply shrinks, I suppose, and that could push the price of pork in the meat case up.
Yeah, one other observation, too, not only just pork, but beef, we're setting up for a scenario we could be worldwide short on protein due to that, but also here in the U.S., talking to the guys out west, there's still ideas. We lost over a million calves due to the blizzard and flooding here this winter and spring, so this beef market could be set up for a marketing hole here as we go into next winter, too.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt. We'll talk with you during Commodity Week on Thursday this week.
Very good. Looking forward to it, Todd.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, all the participating parties in the negotiations between the United States and China seem to believe that there has been some progress made in those negotiations over the last 2 weeks, and that they will continue over this coming week, though that will be through a teleconference. One of the things that is being discussed is Beijing's slow action in adopting new GM technology or genetic modifications. The issue is one of the host of U.S. complaints that the administration of President Donald Trump is demanding China address. A Reuters article explains that GM crops and the approval process are still a big issue in the discussion, saying the issue has been a source of tension between the two countries for years. If China does not approve new strains of genetic modifications to soybeans, then farmers in the United States cannot plant them because China may reject shipments that include them. The trade deal, by the way, is expected to include a 6-year time frame for purchases of more than $1 trillion in U.S. goods, including commodity products. Over the weekend, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow, speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, talked about the trade negotiations, just exactly where he believed they stand today.
I can't go into details on this, but we've made great progress on the IP theft. We've made good progress on the forced transfer of technology, on the ownership. There are issues outstanding, not least of which are going to be enforcement-related issues. But in each and every place, A, they've acknowledged their problems. That was a very big hurdle. And B, what wasn't on the table is on the table. And C, we're getting closer and closer.
Larry Kudlow is an economic advisor to President Donald J. Trump. The U.S. trade representative, the lead negotiator for the China deal, is Robert Lighthizer. He has been less optimistic, but by his own admission, says that is his normal modus operandi. Let's stay with trade, but we'll switch from China to Mexico. A border slowdown is replacing the border shutdown fears as the Trump administration redeploys Customs and Border Patrol officers away from ports of entry to help Border Patrol agents. It's also unnerving farm interest, worried about on-time delivery of produce and arrival of Mexican seasonal labor. That according to American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore.
In addition to the impact that this could have on trade going south for our commodities and products, farm and ag products, we're also concerned about how this could impact the ability for our farms and ranches here in the United States to get the workers they need under the H-2A program, particularly in, you know, at a time of the year where we're hitting into planting season in some parts of the country where, you know, it's livestock calving season, got, you know, the fruit and vegetable operations.
And Moore says Farm Bureau's made its voice heard in the administration, urging caution that any border security steps the president takes not impede farm commerce or movement of farm workers.
We've got some parts of the country where folks literally from Mexico commute into the United States on a daily basis to work, particularly along right along that southern border. And again, it's causing worry. We've heard from a number of our states in that regard. raising that notion that this could have just as big an impact in some ways on the farms and ranches as, you know, the slowing down of the commerce side of it.
Mexico's foreign minister says top U.S. officials assured him the U.S. does not plan to close the border, but those border officials are overstretched by the recent surge in migrants, and the strain is likely to cause a slowdown at border crossings. Well, the March floods that punished the U.S. Midwest have roiled the ethanol industry, hammering prices and trapping barrels in the country's interior, reports Reuters. The historic March floods have dealt a series of blows to large swaths of an ethanol industry that was already struggling with high inventories and sluggish domestic demand growth. And the ethanol shortages are one factor pushing gasoline prices in Los Angeles and Southern California to the highest in the nation, and they could top $4 a gallon for the first time since 2014, that according to Gas Buddy. Now, the benchmark price for ethanol used in most supply contracts initially jumped on news of the floods, but has been hobbled by rising waters around the Chicago hub that have halted barges and sales. That stands in contrast to prices on the coast, which rose dramatically, drawing in heavy imports from Brazil, the main U.S. ethanol competitor. While some ethanol plants were flooded, the primary effect of the rising waters was to shut rail lines that serve as the main arteries for corn and ethanol deliveries. Ethanol prices on the coast spiked due to shortages, but Midwest producers have been unable to take advantage because of washed-out rail lines. That happened about 4 weeks ago as a weather system known as a bomb cyclone made its way across the Midwest. Now, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey is concerned about a second storm, another bomb cyclone system that is traveling this week through the nation's midsection, and the issues it is posing for the same areas.
4 weeks to the day from when the first bomb cyclone hit the nation's midsection, we are going to see a very similar system. And as a result, we have great concerns for some of the areas that are still recovering from flooding, especially areas where we haven't seen repairs to levees and other flood protection infrastructure. This system will be hitting on April 10th and 11th. And again, that's exactly 4 weeks to the day from when the previous storm hit on March 13th and 14th. And this system is going to take a similar track, explosively deepening across the central Great Plains and then drifting slowly toward the northeast across the upper Midwest, and then finally reaching the Great Lakes region by April 12th. The main axis of that falling from Wyoming to Wisconsin, and in many areas that is going to be in the form of a heavy wind-driven snow, and that will obviously add another factor to this system.
The wind-driven snow causes problems, of course, for transportation, but also for livestock that are kept outside. Brad Rippey is a USDA meteorologist. That's a look at today's agricultural news. You know, earlier today, the talk show team from our home station here in Urbana, Nyla Budo and Company at the 21st, talked with Illinois 18th Congressional District Representative Darren LaHood. He was in O'Hare, waiting to board a flight to Washington, D.C. Now, the 18th encompasses parts of Bloomington Normal, stretching through Peoria and westward to the Mississippi River. It was a conversation that serves to underscore how the Trump administration's immigration and trade policies are related. For instance, here's how LaHood answered the question asking if he was frustrated by what's going on the border with Mexico.
Well, I think there's a collective frustration from the standpoint that, you know, we have almost 75,000 people each month we're averaging coming across the border, or trying to come across the border illegally. And how do we get a handle on that? How do we stop that? I think it's really what the president is trying to get at. We are a country of laws, and we have to abide by those laws. And in a prior life, I spent 5 years as a federal prosecutor. I've prosecuted lots of immigration cases. I've sent people back to their country of origin. But listen, we need to enforce those laws. And I think the president, just this last week, got the attention of Mexico by threatening to shut down the border. I'm glad he didn't do that, but it got their attention. And also looking at how do we get countries like El Salvador and Guatemala and Nicaragua and others to pay attention to this crisis. So I think this is something that is an issue for people in my district, and there's been a lot of collective frustration.
Frustration with the immigration policy, but that clashes with the trade policy. We just heard in the Ag News segment how moving border agents from the ports of entry to other areas is slowing down commerce. And that has a back pocket impact in Darren LaHood's district.
Of course, absolutely. Mexico is our second largest trading partner. It has to be at the top of the list, the economic ramifications and how it affects not only manufacturing, but our agriculture products. You know, 98% of the corn that Mexico imports comes from the United States, much of it from Illinois and the Midwest. So, of course, I have concerns about that. I look at closing the border as a last resort. But again, the president threatened it. But in the end, he decided that he's going to give Mexico the opportunity to change some of their policies. And he made the decision not to do that. So yes, economic considerations have to be at the forefront.
So is immigration, because the president ran on it. President Trump does not like to compromise on his positions. He wanted to throw NAFTA out, but rather chose to have it renegotiated as the USMCA. He's also wanted to build a wall and to more fully control immigration, illegal and legal. Last week, President Trump threatened to supersede the USMCA if it becomes law, should Mexico fail to control immigration. Therein lies the crux of the matter. Can President Trump close the border to immigrants and keep it open to commerce? Greg Johnson now joins us from the Andersons to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Greg. Thank you for being on hand with me this afternoon. I want to start with basis levels over the last week or so. What's been happening?
Very steady. We're seeing about a 3-cent improvement every month, so that's about a penny a week, and that's exactly what we've seen here. Corn and bean basis is getting a little bit better. Without a trade agreement, though, the farmers aren't selling, so that's not pressuring the basis, but there's nobody on the other end buying a lot, so that's not helping the basis out. So we're basically just covering our cost of storage and interest. About a penny a month is about what the basis is going up.
So I saw, and I know that you and the Andersons have elevators across the whole of the Midwest. A South Dakota grain elevator system was talking about moving something like 1.7 million acres or bushels of corn out in the month of April. I looked at their spot bid and it was, what, 329, I think, maybe a little higher than that. But it wasn't that great. Are farmers of the idea that they want to move corn at these levels?
No. They don't like the basis levels particularly, and they certainly don't like the futures price. So that combination has put a lid on the corn market. That's why we're seeing a little bit of free DP out there. We've got free DP on both corn and beans, so we're trying to get some movement, but farmers do not like the price, the flat price or the basis levels. The basis levels are historically wide, but again, with no China trade deal, there's kind of a reason why they're, you know, why the basis levels are where they are.
And waiting, of course, for tomorrow's USDA report to show what really the U.S. United States Department of Agriculture thinks we have left of the old crop, too.
That's right. Kind of a shock there, that March stocks report. But if you think about it, harvest was late, and China had some tariffs on some DDGs and grain sorghum. And so those probably backed up into the U.S. feed market and took the place of some corn. So we do have a little bit more corn on hand than probably what we thought we did 3 months ago.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight is 343. New corn is 359. Cash beans are 867. New beans are 872. And new crop wheat is 449.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. I think we should get right to this, Mark, because when you look out during this week, it looks a little familiar, kind of like 4 weeks ago, and that's probably not such a good thing.
Yeah, kind of have a little bit of everything here this week, Todd. Obviously, right now, the week starting off just, you know, fantastic with unseasonably warm temperatures, dry conditions across much of the Midwest, and kind of a classic warm spring day. That's going to end here later in the week with what looks to be another major winter storm system. In fact, another bomb cyclone is going to be rapidly intensifying Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week across the nation's midsection. And that's going to produce just large area of many different weather parameters here. Spring blizzard conditions up across the northern areas of the Corn Belt, a large area of severe weather outbreak here in the southern areas, a very strong wind field here with wind gusts in excess of 55, even 60 miles per hour from the plains all the way here into the Midwest. And then more widespread moderate to heavy rainfall again in portions of the Corn Belt. So, and probably the biggest item is the snow. There's going to be 6 to 15, even areas picking up over 15 inches of snow in South Dakota, Nebraska, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin here coming up, even maybe far northern Iowa. That looks to be the main zone of heavier snow totals coming up this week. And again, that's hitting in the areas that have already been hard hit, whether it's snow this winter or whether that's flooding. And that's going to continue to, well, that will be worsening the situation here coming up.
How bad for the folks along the Missouri River?
Well, they're in, we're seeing flooding right now. And with the snow coming up, the snow that will be impacting the Red River, that will be in South Dakota, it would be actually a worse situation if the snow band was further north across North Dakota. So most of the rain, or most of the melted snow, I should say, coming up, that will either go into the Missouri River Basin or into the Mississippi River Basin. But some of it will go into the Red River, but it would be, a worse situation if that snow was further north.
What do you see further out?
We see a continuation of stormy conditions here, Todd, with additional systems coming through, not to the levels of this week's storm, but another system. Actually, this weekend is going to take a more southerly track, and then the middle to end of next week, some additional waves of low pressure. There's just simply no sign of any extended breaks in this series of systems coming through. And so, again, it continues to be difficult from a fieldwork preparation and planning standpoint as we go through April.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me for the day.
Yeah, you're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear his forecast anytime you'd like on our website. Look for willag.org online and then click on weather. That's over on the right-hand side of the page, probably if you're using a desktop, but maybe at the bottom of the page on a phone or a tablet.